Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
It is Monday. Welcome to your week. As always on Monday, if we are blessed to, and we are blessed today to have the one and only my co-host on Mondays, Sophie Ross. And I just want to point out, Sophie's mom and Nana is in town in New York right now, and she is taking the time to talk to us, even though maybe she's escaping them. I don't know. But they are visiting, and we still got her. So this is a high-profile interview. But there are so many things happening in the entertainment Bravo universe this week that I know we need to get Sophie's opinions on. Sophie, how are you? Are you hanging in?
I'm good. Actually, my grandma and mom were like, so how about we just listen in while you record?
I was hoping to get them on. When you told me, I was like, I hope they're on.
Oh my God, don't say that. That actually would have been funny. But I was like, no, like it would just involve so much editing for you, because those are two women that don't stop talking ever. And I just don't want you to have to deal with that.
Sophie, you act like that's a bad, that's really what podcast is all predicated on, are people just nonstop talking. That's amazing. Are you hanging in though? But by the way, you guys,
I'm barely hanging in there.
Sophie was killing it on Twitter last night, but she was killing it really early in the night. And I was like, why are you not at a bar or on a date or something? And then I found out her mom and Nana, or is it grandma or Nana? How do you?
Nana Jojo is her name.
Nana Jojo. She wrote the hit song Stay, Get Out. You guys know Jojo. And, but I do want to remind Sophie, and this is how I know Sophie's mom is in town, is that she posted something about TurboTax because today is the last day you can file your taxes.
Tomorrow. Oh, actually, we're recording on Sunday. I'm sorry.
This will be Monday.
I'm breaking the fourth wall.
But you guys, I was out and I saw that tweet and I had stomach issues for the rest of the night because it reminded me so much of my mom reminding me to do my taxes, and I have not done my taxes yet.
Wait, but yeah, that's always me though. It really was me being like, oh shit, like my mom and grandma are in town. I won't be able to have fun if I like am worrying about my taxes. So I finally made myself do them on Saturday.
I do this weird thing where like I always get in my own way where I kind of wait till the final.
I'm a procrastinator in every sense of the word, but it works for me. Procrastinating works for me. So like, yeah.
But my mom, like, it's like now it's constant messages. She's like, guess what I'm asking about? It is so sad that I have that my mom still, I mean, it's sad on both of our parts that we are still in this weird rut where she's reminding me of things that I already know I'm supposed to do. But I think there's an internal self-hatred potentially with me where I'm like, yeah, come on, bring the government. What is the government going to do?
Yeah. Like what's the IRS going to do about incorrect. Wait, but I'm actually proud of myself. I've been doing my own taxes since I was 22, since I graduated. And I feel like I've met so many people recently whose parents still do their taxes relative who's an accountant. They have no idea how taxes work. I'm like, that's kind of a skill. Like I'm proud that even though I wait until the last second every single year, I'm still proud that I do them myself.
Well, I used to file taxes I still do as an actor or an acting teacher. And I would write off so many things. It'd be like, I saw that concert. That's art. That's a write off.
Well, this year, if you're a freelancer, because, you know, your internet and all the stuff that you use to work from home, you need that.
And I lost my job this year. So I feel like the IRS should just be like, hey, we're going to give this guy a pass.
Yeah. It actually did seem on TurboTax. I love how they have like the cute, fun little copy. They're like, they're like, wait here. We hope the spinny wheel thing makes the time go by faster. And they're like, we're getting you all the breaks you can get. Like they like try to be all like wink, wink and like nice about it. But they're like, we know this year was tough.
I wish there was a button on TurboTax you could hit where it'd be like, are you willing to cheat just a little bit? And be like, yeah, I'm willing to fudge things. Like, how serious are you about taxes, TurboTax, you know?
Wait, but that actually would be a good way to like see. They like are trying to get you. They're like trying to see what your moral compass is. Because usually they check. They're like, okay, you haven't fucked up big time. Oh, by the way, Nana Jojo said I cuss too much. She said her and
Nana
my
Jojo
grandpa
is listening to this.
Yeah, she's listening with my grandfather Papa Tootie, which I just found out. Nana Jojo and Papa Tootie listen to this, and they said, why does she curse so much?
It's because I do, Nana.
It's
my fault. I don't. And by the way, I hate that your grandparents are listening. I'm so sorry because it must come off like a, who's this smart ass man?
They love you. They love you. No. I can't help it. It is not my choice that my family members are obsessed with me. Like it's just the name of the game. I'm the Kim Kardashian of my family.
Wait, so does your family read like your Jen Shah Betches article?
My dad is never interested in like my pop. He's like, you know, your typical like guy. Like he's not interested in any of that stuff. He has no idea. When I watch Bravo, when I was living at home for 9 months, and every night it was that at the beginning of the pandemic, Vanderpump, Summer House, and Top Chef. And like, it was just the most stacked lineup. But anyway, I'd be taking over the TV and he was like, this is so stupid. I hate this shit. But he emailed me just like a subject line. He was like, that Jen Shah article was great.
Oh, I was that's like, nice. Oh.
So yeah, they like, yeah, my family's just.
What if your dad was like, she's going to jail, isn't she?
I'm very lucky that my family is very supportive. I love all of them.
Well, I love all of them too. Thank you so much for birthing Sophie and raising her right, except for the potty mouth that she has. The first story I want to, there's an obvious story that everybody probably thinks we would start off with, but I'm not going to do that because I want to start off with a good story or something that shows you potentially that people can change, that we want to have hope for everybody, is that DJ James Kennedy proposed to Raquel Leviss this weekend, maybe this weekend or last week.
Yes.
And they are engaged, you guys. And there is a picture that they put up of DJ James Kennedy photographing, like doing a selfie of them kissing, supposedly after the engagement.
See, like that is something that is making me excited to watch Vanderpump.
Want to see that. That was my first thought of, oh, thank God they're filming.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, wait. Okay. Yeah. They're filming right now. So we're going to see it. Like, that's kind of like, they needed to inject some life in there, but I do think it's funny how, I mean, I don't blame them, but I just, how Bravo celebrities always time, you know, weddings, engagements, like everything to make sure it's like filming. But like, of course, like viewers want to see that stuff. We've watched their whole like journey. Yeah.
No, I mean, and by the way, I do want to credit, hopefully he is still, but DJ James Kennedy's sobriety seems like it's it's changed him for the better, obviously, because there were so many rumors, and I don't really think rumors, I think we all kind of, there was that rumor about him and Logan Noah, remember that season that they supposedly, him and Logan hooked up, the gay dude?
I like forgot that, yeah, and Lala.
Yeah, remember, he was wasted at the 80s, and that was... But Lala actually was on another podcast and somebody sent me clips and she was talking a little bit about that rumor and about her book that came out last week, Give Them Lala. And I want to see this, but then I got
her ghostwriter, by the way. I think her ghostwriter went to my college. I have mutual friends with her who posted about it. And I was like, whoa. I'm not going to like say her name or out her, but she definitely has a ghostwriter or had a ghostwriter, obviously, which that shouldn't be surprising.
It's Judy Blume. I got scared all of a sudden because I was like, I was thinking about Raquel and James getting engaged and I was like, fuck, are we, and this is where I don't want to see, are we going to see a Lala Rand wedding this season?
When did they reschedule their wedding for? Because it was supposed to be April last year.
I don't think they have an official rescheduling date. She talked about it on this podcast saying, oh, maybe in 2022. But I also think that people say things and then they save it for the show. So it might be a surprise. And we know Rand is filming for the show. The whole Vanderpump Rules cast was in Palm Springs last week. So when I went to TomTom for that friends and family night, all the cast like rented, rented them a house. And I think this is where that engagement took place. And Rand was there and they celebrated Lala's book launch. But I think that might be even an interesting way to start the season two of let's get them all in a house, get them refamiliarized. And then they were like playing tennis together. And we see that Brock, Sheena's buff Australian dude, is a character. He's filming with them.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of positives to get myself excited.
No, I'm excited. I think that they did the right thing with the cast shakeup because I just remember, I can't remember like where I saw a clip of the reunion last year. And remember how cocky, Charlie, remember her takedown of Jax at the reunion last year?
Yeah, old man. Yeah.
And he was so self-satisfied. Yeah, that was incredible. They were so smug and self-satisfied, Stassi and all of them, even Lisa. Like, what is Lisa's role going to be?
I don't see, and thankfully she wasn't there at the Palm Springs house, or at least not because she was at TomTom, and I literally watched her put the dog on the table, which, by the way, I love dogs in restaurants. Are we allowed to put them fully on the table? Like their full bodies on the place where you eat? That sounds like
a health code violation.
Let's get TomTom shut down before it opens. But it was fun. Like Ken was like hobbling in. Like Ken is always like, he's like a very kind of like, you know, he seems like he's played a lot of sports. He's like hobbling all the time. And Nicolaine, the designer of TomTom, was with them. And even a year and a half ago when I was in TomTom, or a year plus when I was in TomTom last, Nicolaine, the designer, was with them. And I'm like, is this some weird like threesome couple? Because he seems like he's always following Lisa and Ken into TomTom at some
point. Maybe. Like, honestly, maybe. Like, Lisa and Ken are, oh my God, I was about to cuss. I'm going to try to watch my language.
Okay.
Lisa and Ken are stone cold weirdos. I don't understand them. I don't understand them.
Nigelaine.
Remember Cedric?
Balls, Nigelaine.
Wait, do you remember Cedric?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, what happened to Cedric?
You guys, if you don't want Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Cedric was like Lisa's kind of gay best friend that lived with Lisa. I think they provided, you know, because he was he was friendly with Ken. Like,
he lived in like their guest house and just lounged by the pool in a Speedo every single day and just like was bankrolled.
Just laughed at what Lisa said, would say mean things about people Lisa hated. And it was kind of like a weird, I think it was like kind of a weird addition you could buy with Beverly Hills Homes of like a sassy best friend, you know?
Like, I just don't get, like, they're just so weird.
It is weird, but I got to say, when I was at TomTom and they built this out, like the front patio that they didn't have last time, and it was really nice. I got to say, it's so alarming to be in public again, but it is, at the same time, there was something really nice. But it also kind of feels like you're cheating. Like, you're like, fuck, I'm going to get caught any second now. Like, I'm doing something wrong, you know?
It's so weird. Like, me, my mom, and grandma are all fully vaccinated, but I was like in their hotel room with my mask fully on. And they were like, you can take off your mask. Like, you don't have to like wear that all the time. I was like, oh, like, I'm just so used to wearing a mask around like family members and older people. And like, yeah, I mean, everyone is still kind of wearing masks outside here, but it's like indoor, you know, we went to Saks today, like went to a store and like, it was like busy, like, It's crazy. Like, things are like back to normal here, it feels like.
I mean, things are definitely more back. I saw a bar band outside of a bar last night. It was the first live music I have seen in a year plus. And it was just some, you know, they're playing covers. And I got to tell you, it's like, there's an Eddie Murphy joke about if you give a starving man like Ritz crackers, they'll be like, damn, this is only crackers? Are you kidding me? This tastes amazing. And this bar band that was probably shitty, I was like, holy shit, this is like Radiohead up here. Like, I was so exciting to see live music again. But then I realized you're the things that you didn't like before, you know, you start to remember. You're like, I was watching like some people drunkenly make out, you know, and literally like humping. And I was like, oh, I forgot what that's like to watch. And then I went to the bathroom and it's the first time I sat next to stood next to somebody at a urinal. And I remember I got pee shy and I was like, damn it, I forgot about being pee shy. So if you don't know about this, but guys can sometimes get pee shy if you're peeing next to another
guy. I was having this conversation with like one of my guy friends the other day, or like when I was hanging out with him, and it was so weird. Like, I just, the fact that when men go to the bathroom, that they are just like right next to each other with their dicks out.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can tell when somebody's got like when you hear a thunk, you know, you're like, oh, that guy's got a, you know, you're like, my dad always did the joke of, you know, we'd go into urinals.
Wait, wait, wait. You're saying if you hear actually physically, like, it's like
he's unfurling
his manhood onto the urinal.
I peed next to Bolo last night from Atlanta but my dad always made this dad joke. We would in the urinals. I hated this. He'd always be like, we'd be peeing next to urinals together. And he'd be like, ooh, the water's cold and deep.
Oh my God. Our dads would get along. Whenever I'm in like CVS or wherever, whenever I was in CVS with my dad growing up, he'd be like, Sophie, I found the crab's medicine. Like screaming across the store every time.
He lives for family dinner or family dinners or restaurants where, you know, you get the, oh, let me taste this, I hear it's poisonous.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, give me a bite of that. I'll test if it's
when
poisonous.
When the waiter's like, so what'd you think? And it's like everyone has an empty plate and it's like, we hated it. You tell? And then when the check comes,
to a manager?
What's the damage?
Or when the check comes, I got to go to the bathroom. You guys take care of this one.
After you get out of the bathroom, shaking your hands, ready to rock and roll.
You ready to blow this popsicle stand? But I do, the older I get, the more you take on those dad mannerisms. And I don't even have kids, but I was like, I was talking to my friend the other day, and I was saying these weird things. Something about like stick like glue, or it was some bullshit that I heard my dad say. And then I was like, what is wrong? Like,
you're just a chip off the old block.
Oh, he'd be proud of me. You know, like, oh, by the way, he found out our next story. So he is in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio right now, visiting my 97-year-old.
Ooh, Ohio!
His mother for the first time since all of this started. And he finally got to go back. And my uncle and my cousin, I didn't know
you had roots in Ohio, right?
Yeah, that's where I was born, in Columbus, Ohio. And that's where my parents lived their whole lives, or Buckeyes, Ohio State.
Wait, why didn't we talk about this?
I thought we did.
My grandparents literally met, Nana Jojo and Papa Tootie met at Ohio State.
Yeah, they're my Buckeyes. My 97-year-old grandma still follows Buckeyes football.
Wait, Nana Jojo would have loved, oh my God, now she's going to love you even more. She's going to hear that.
Thankfully, now I'm winning my
way. I can't believe, Ryan, how did we never, you know I'm from Ohio. You never brought it up.
I thought I did.
I'm so sketchy.
But you know, my dad went out to eat with my Uncle David and my cousin Abby and her boyfriend, and Abby, if you're listening, hi. I think they listened to the podcast, and my dad got to participate in a conversation about Summer House, and he was able to keep up because I had made him watch this show, and Abby and her boyfriend are friends, and he was able to have a conversation about Summer House, and he said, He said, are you proud of me? Are you proud of me? And I was like, I am proud of you, Dad. That's amazing that he was, I'm finally the apple of his eye, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. Good for you getting your parents into it. Like, I could never, I've tried. Even my mom, she like is not into Bravo. She's very into like true crime and shit.
Wait. Breaking news. This is sad.
What?
Trevor Noah and Minka Kelly split. TMZ just did a push alert.
Trevor Noah and Minka Kelly, Ryan,
are Splitsville. They just bought a mansion together. So they're wondering how, you know, it's a $27.5 million. And this goes to show you folks, love hard and realize love will not always be there.
What push notification do you have?
TMZ. I get push notification, TMZ, Daily Mail, like every, so my phone is just like a waste of.
Wait, when you said this is sad and you were like super serious, I was like, oh my God, it's like a celebrity death. Like my stomach just tightened.
In a way, it is a death. In a way, it is a death, Sophie. And we all know how hard it is to.
Minka Kelly is someone that she's in the Olivia Munn, Rita Ora category kind of.
Well,
I know we'll get to that, but I'm not sure what you do these days for a career, but I just know that you're always dating like celebrity men. That's all I know about you.
If people are making brackets or any kind of like chart where they're charting your dating history, you might need to work on your dating history. You know, like if people are actively like studying your dating history, I don't know. I don't want to be too, but yeah. It feels like that's weird. But by the way, to Summer House, this is the big thing that we wanted to, that obviously people are waiting for us to talk about. Luke Gulbranson released a new set of rings this week, and I think everybody should go check it out on his website. It looks cool.
His rings look great. I'm not a ring person. I never wear rings because I wash my hands and use hand sanitizer. Always have before COVID. But anyway, I want to get one of Luke's rings.
I can't afford it right now, but I will eventually. And also shout
they're
out
like
to Heather.
They're like $200-ish, I think.
Oh, see, I can't. Yeah. But Heather.
Yeah, they're steep, but good quality, it seems like.
Heather, I think, listens, and she's a Patreon subscriber. She sent me a tiny bottle of Grand Dom Karen Huger.
How does it smell?
It smells amazing. It smells like victory, success. It smells like a second wind. I mean,
she is a superstar. She really is the moment. No, I've heard good things about La Dom, is that what it's called? The fragrance?
It's called La Dom. Yeah.
Just La Dom. I've heard good things about it. By the way,
I think it's pretty pricey. I don't think you can find that at Ross yet. Like all the other Housewives scents.
Like Vicky's that you have.
Okay, wait a sec. This is funny. Raquel Levis just posted an Instagram with the ring, and she's wearing a bracelet, like the kind that you get at Coachella to go in. And the bracelet says Raquel. So obviously they did a Coachella themed engagement party. So it's like they did a Richella bracelet instead
That's cute.
No, I like that. And there's a DJ setup. So it looks like they did a coach. I hope all the Vanderpump people are just like high off their minds on Molly, just like Coachella, where people are just losing their, you know, projectile vomiting.
I just want like a, like, you know, that Jax is spiraling.
He's
gonna act like he has his HGTV show. Well, he's gonna act like he has all of these TV deals, but he is spiraling.
Leaving this right here, folks, and I'll just put an HGTV mug. You could put in it, like, I have a Spider-Man mug. I should be putting this right here, like, just so, like, I might be the new Spider-Man. Guys, of course, Summer House. We're just so excited, I think, because I think we're both relieved of this next story in some ways. And I know some people love her, some people don't. I did get one message last week, just one, that said, "This, it's not fun how hard we went in on Hannah." But, you know, all of this stuff is in good fun, but also I was very angry at Hannah.
And also, can I just say that something that I like to do is literally just psychoanalyze people in general. Yeah, so I know that's not always like a good thing that I like to psychoanalyze people and I talk about that, but like, I just love, like, this is why I love Bravo. You get to like analyze people's behavior.
It's also, I mean, for me, it started like with kids when everybody liked pro wrestlers and, you know, they got really into pro wrestlers. To me, Bravo is a little bit of that same vibe in that you get so passionate where you have arguments. And it's what I imagine like sports. You're a sports fan. I'm not, you know, fully a sports fan.
Just one sport.
You're football. It's football time, baby. But so we got this message on Friday night, which of course a Friday night posting. This past year has been one of the most important in my life for self-reflection, love, and learning a lot of shit. I've welcomed new career ventures, challenges, and obstacles, and opportunities for growth. As we climb out of the emotional trenches of 2020, I look forward to an exciting summer, but with mixed emotions, I'm announcing I won't be spending it living in the summer house. What if she was like, I'll be living in a teepee far behind the summer? No, these last three summers have truly been a whirlwind, and the show has, without a doubt, changed my life and will forever be thankful for the platform it has provided me. Making people laugh is what brings me joy, and I am so excited to announce that I will be spending this summer touring my stand-up and telling fart jokes at comedy clubs and theaters near you. More dates and tickets to come soon, but I cannot wait to see you all in person. Now, the thing is, I saw this post when it came out, and I thought it was literally just announcing she was doing a stand-up tour because it was too long for me to read, so I thought, I was like, oh, it's just a stand-up tour thing. And then I was like, oh, wait a sec, she's actually saying more here. And
I don't follow her. So I got so many DMs being like, it happened. And I was like, wait, what happened? And then I was like, oh, Hannah, my first thought was to check Hannah's Instagram.
So with Bravo, I want to remind people with all of Bravo, Bravo usually gives the person on the show the first option, they allow all of their cast members, whether it be Jax, whether it be to make the announcement first. Bravo will not say, we have let this person go, we have not picked up their contract. Bravo stays out of that kind of stuff. So that is up in the air, of course. Did Hannah leave, or was she her contract not picked up?
She was fired. I will tell
yes,
you 1,000%.
I do know from sources she was not, her contract was not picked up. So, it's not... Bravo doesn't treat it dramatically like we take it. It's a business. It's a business decision. There is something to be said. The ratings have gone down the last two seasons, even though I've enjoyed the last two seasons more than the first three. The ratings have gone down, but also Bravo's ratings have been down across the board on every one of their shows. I think Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this week will break that trend. I think that is going to get bigger ratings potentially, but who knows? But yeah, that's what we got. And it's a Friday night news drop, which always you got to pay attention to those. That's exactly, Jax did the exact time, I think, maybe an hour or two later, Jax released his, him and Brittany being, choosing to go at that time as well. So I always think that's funny when they all kind of follow this pattern. And I don't know if publicists encourage people to leak that news to not have it be in the main news feed for that week, you know?
Yes, for sure. For sure. That's like a common thing with like Friday night, like PR, they're trying to bury the news. Like she didn't want it to be a story because it's embarrassing. Like to me, it's very obvious because she was posting memes like about season six. Like she clearly thought she was coming back. And I think that, you know, the entire internet calling for her to get, like, there just isn't a, at least on Twitter, there are really no Hannah fans left.
Well, my thing is too, and if like, if Hannah wants to go do, but by the way, I was trying to imagine Hannah stand up and I was like, wouldn't it be funny if it was just like, what's the deal with Luke, huh? Like, what is it if it's all Summer House stand up, you know? Like, her isn't tweet, it weird when Kyle does tweeted, this?
She tweeted the other day, what if farts are just ghost demons leaving your body?
You know what? I've always wondered the exact.
Like, cool joke. Like, I don't understand. Like, bodily function humor. Like, that's just, like, not. It's
at
not,
least we know she didn't steal that one. I mean, that's had to have been a Hannah original, right?
I guess. Yeah, because no one else would think that's fun. I'm sorry. Already going in too hard on
her. No. She got into it. I think what the account is, I want to credit this right, Build Up Babes, maybe the account was.
Oh, yeah.
Who had called her on all of these stolen tweets She commented and she said in the last 2 years, she's donated over $50,000.
Which came from Giggly Squad. It came from the money that they raised from their fans. From Giggly, it wasn't her personal money that she donated, first of all. Okay.
Oh, I wouldn't imagine. I mean, honestly, this is no shade. I wouldn't imagine Hannah would have, like, if Hannah has 50 grand to, like, get, I mean, kudos to her, but I think that would be impossible.
I have a screenshot of the comment.
Yeah, please. I would love to read the comment. Yeah.
Let me dig it up in my DMs because I did get sent a bunch of DMs about this and I have it.
Sierra said that on the post that I love you and did like an emoji, like a sap or something.
Yes.
She
did. And Hannah seems to, like, a lot of, you know, people in the comments are like, you're on to bigger and better things, like blah, blah, blah.
Of course. You know what's so funny? I got to say, this is how psycho I am.
What's the comment? Okay. It said, and she deleted this, by the way. She commented and deleted it. She said, I've donated over 50K to men. And this was when Build Up Babes was basically this Bravo account was, I think it was just a post about the Luke situation again, and the comments that Hannah has made that are really horrible. And she goes, I've donated over 50K to mental health organizations in the last 3 years. I apologized to Luke and his mom over a year ago for this. I hadn't used his name. She said she called him Rings on the podcast that she was talking about him on. I hadn't used his name and it was before he was on Summer House when it airs. It was a bad joke about how single I was and how I was feeling emotionally manipulated by a man who was using me and confusing me for months. I'm human and I'm sorry for making fun of suicide ideation. So she still took a shot at
But see, you can't apologize and then take a shot at somebody in the same apology, whether it be true or not. And by the way, I'm not saying, like, I mean, obviously Luke is a fuckboy. I've never said anything, but I also think it is not the situation that Hannah is a very strong woman. Like, Hannah is a very strong woman that obviously she is steadfast and she will not back down. She doesn't. Like, she will not accept blame. She will not this. So I don't view Hannah as a weak person at all. I view Hannah as almost, she could afford to be a little bit more,
humble.
Humble, sure, but also just empathetic.
See,
she can be empathetic, and I feel like
I don't know if she's capable of empathy. That's what season five made me, like, really concerned about her. I'm like, from what I've seen, the look on her face at the reunion when Carl was crying and Amanda was crying, I did not see one single ounce of empathy on her face. Like, I don't know if she's capable of empathy. Just saying.
I think Hannah is also the type of person that I'm not saying this is good or bad, but I think she is laser focused on her career or getting herself to that next level. And that's why I think her friendships might not be actual friendships. They are kind of steps to the next platform. I think she view relationships the way we potentially
view. She views relationships as transactional, it seems like.
Yeah. By the way, there's nothing saying you have to view relationships a certain way, you know?
Is Paige definitely getting asked back? Did she get asked back? Do you have any?
I'm hearing most likely Paige and Sierra will be asked back. But by the way, I'm fascinated to see if how they are as people away from Hannah. And I'm kind of fascinated to see what they bring to it. And by the way, I'm like, Summer House season 6 might be a complete flop. Who knows? But I will say it's going to be fun to see. The only set, there was one iota, I'm talking 10% of me, that was like, I wonder, I wanted to see how Summer House dug themselves out of the hole with Hannah. Like, there was one part of me that was like, how does this happen? Will she pays attention to all of this stuff. Will she perform a redemption arc? Will she act like she's sorry?
I knew it was, she went too far. That's the problem. You only are, you know, given a redemption arc if you keep things kind of like to Bravo standards. She went way too low, like in every multiple ways. Like, she just went way too low with her behavior that, like, there is no coming back from that. And there is no redemption from that. And I also think just like the likability factor just isn't there. But Paige and Sierra, I could honestly do without. I'm like, I'm fine. Like, if they come back, like, I am interested to see, you know, how they are without Hannah. I don't think they brought anything. I don't think Paige has really brought anything at all in her 3 seasons that she's been on the show. So,
One of those things, I enjoy Paige's smart ass comments. I do. I mean, I will admit that I want to see who she is without that. Because it's easy to comment on something. That's what I've based my entire career on right now, but it's harder to actually provide to a storyline or something. And I know that sounds potentially sky psychotic talking about reality as storylines, but that's what these things are. You know, even producers are looking for storylines. I am so curious to hear what the cast's reaction to this. I was wondering how big Kyle was smiling when the news broke. How soon did they know? I would love to know the behind the scenes conversations on all of this.
Same. So I would have loved to see Hannah is kind of like a Jax thing where I'm like, I want to see how much she's spiraling from this. Cause you know that she's not happy about it. Like, that is someone who wants camera time. Her and Dez both want camera time. Like, that has to be.
Now,
and what's going to happen with her and Paige and Giggly Squad? Like,
I was talking to my buddy, Nick, and him and his wife watch it together. And they were, he's not really into reality shows, but he was like, that Dez guy, he's like, we saw him a couple episodes. And he goes, that guy thought he was going to be like a reality star, didn't he? Like, he came in hot. And he was all about it. So I wonder if there is a portion of, I'm not saying Dez doesn't love Hannah, but I am saying, I wonder if there's disappointment on Dez's side of, I don't potentially get to be on TV, you know?
1000%. That's why it's like, I honestly, like, I feel kind of sad that she's in this position because, like, I mean, I don't feel sad, but I kind of feel bad for her because, you know, she's engaged to this guy that it seems like he kind of was using her to get on the show. He's been engaged to a reality star
that
before.
That is so weird to me. Is that,
and
like,
we don't talk about it enough that he was engaged to a reality star in China. So he's already been engaged to a reality star.
Maybe there's a Raya for reality stars and we're just giving him a hard time. And that's just the app he uses, you know, like, maybe it's just all reality stars. I just said this idea and I think it's still like, people listen to us or any podcast dissect all of these moments. I'm telling Bravo, though, I think it would be really like, they should do a behind the scenes of how they prepare for a season. Like, let us in on this process. And I personally think it would let us enjoy that season even more if we knew their battles or debates. I want to see the passion that gets these shows put together, if there is passion or not.
No, they can't break the fourth wall like that.
I'm telling you, that's where things will be headed eventually. And the first streaming service to do this, they are going to win. This is like the space race to me. They need to do this.
This is our version of the space race.
Did Paige say anything? Did Paige react? Did you see any reactions?
To Hannah's?
I
did not see a Paige reaction.
Did Carl put on there anything? I figured one of them would like say a comment or something.
I have not seen the only one. I haven't checked like the Summer House Reddit in a couple of days, but when that happened, I guess Friday night, I was scrolling the Reddit and I know people posted Sierra's comment, so I didn't see anything otherwise because I think people would have posted the other comments.
Luke posted from his cabin. He installed some wood, so that was Luke's reaction. And a listener wrote in saying saying something about like, well, the reason Luke didn't have sex with Hannah and the reason but that we heard him messing around for 2 hours is probably because Somebody said they thought Luke was going to bring up at the reunion that the reason why they didn't have sex was because he couldn't keep it hard with Hannah. And I was like, no, I was like, geez, Louise, that is insane.
It doesn't sound like they ever even like got that far. Like it sounds like she was holding off at first. And then by the time, you know, it just, yeah, who cares? Who cares? I don't want to talk about Luke and Hannah anymore. But my sister just started watching. I mean, I will always want to talk shit about Summer House, but I mean, the Luke Hannah situationship. But my sister just started Summer House at season 3, per my advice. And she's just now getting to season 5. And I'm like, just wait.
Yeah. I mean, it is great. It's like Potomac got so, I mean, to me, just like a stellar season on season 5.
Amazing.
So to move past Summer House, we have Real Housewives of Beverly Hills premiering this week, this Wednesday, folks. So that is very exciting. New York is on Tuesdays as always. And they've got a slow start, but I don't dislike it. It's just very slow, and you realize
I didn't even watch the most recent episode of New York. Well, Sophie, completely forgot to watch it.
You know, they only have 5 cast members, so they did at Ramona's house. They did a Burning Man themed party in Ramona's backyard, and it was set up beautifully. But Ebony went to bed early, and then it's when you only have 4 cast members, and then Leah then goes checks in on Ebony, and then you have 3 cast members, and it's just too much work for these ladies to. And by the way, I will watch Ramona and Sonia and Luann. I mean, they are so fun to watch in their behavior, but it's still, you get the sense that they're like, they're really working. You know, they're like really having to put in the hours because there's not more women to pick up the slack. So it's like this weird experiment. But I really think from here on out, you got to have 7 ladies. You just got to, you know?
There's probably, I imagine after this season, there's going to be some sort of like, shake up for sure on New York.
Definitely a shake up, but just add more people and you're gonna save other jobs that way for other housewives, because now such a focus is on each one of these housewives where you get the fans riled up where they immediately go, Leah fucking sucks. Leah sucks. Get her out. Like, people have been really insanely harsh, and I know I'm in love with Leah, but did you see that photo of Pita Chip? The guy that she's supposedly
No. Where's the photo?
I was being passed around a bunch of group. I'll send it to you after this, but
send it to me.
He looks like a blockhead. He looks like, and I'm like, this is the fucking guy. Like this. Sorry, Nana. This is the guy. I was so upset because I was like, if this is the kind of guy she's going for, I could definitely date Leah McSweeney. Except that I don't own a pita business, but the guy, it shocks me what some women are attracted to. And it also comforts
me. That's why I say this a lot. It's not about like physical appearance. I feel like when it comes to a lot of, you know, heterosexual women, it's like more about like the swagger and the personality and I feel like men are just, I feel like men are just more shallow in general.
But yes, like, of course.
Yeah.
But then men are shallow, and I think women.
But it doesn't sound like he has a good personality either. So
I don't think he does. But anyways, and somebody said that the rumor is that they've been dating for years and not more. And I'm like, I don't think Leah would be dating this guy for years and not say it. Like, what's the benefit of her not? What's the benefit of her saying she's casually dating a guy that actually?
How do you say Oxom's razor? Is that how
Oxom's razor? Yeah.
I look at things with an Oxom's razor. I feel like. Where I'm just like, if you read, I feel like so many people are so like every rumor they read about these Bravo stars where they're like, well, what if this, like, what if I'm like, can we just be like, you know, rational for a second and just like think about what's logical? Like, I mean, what's the point of hiding a relationship like that?
If heaven exists, we need a machine. Heaven better have a machine where you get to find out if things were rumors or just what it was. Because some things just are what it is what it is. You know, like, I know it might be boring. People get sick of each other. Like, some things are what they are, and that's it. But we do, and I do this myself, and this is why people are so hopped up on aliens and QAnon. We want to believe the exciting story. And guess what? Sometimes life isn't exciting. Sometimes people just don't like each other. Sometimes people cheat because they're drunk, and that's it. There's no big story. Some people, you know.
Conspiracy theories. I like can't get behind most conspiracy theories because I'm like, this just isn't logical. I'm just a logical person.
It's fun to believe, but some things it just is what it is. But the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills taglines for season 11, these are the taglines. I wanted to get your opinion on them. So Kyle Richards, hers for this season is, this town is a game of chess, but no one's taking this queen down. What's your opinion on that?
This town of Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills, the town.
The town, like, that's Beverly Hills. I am. And the queen, taking that from Lisa Vanderpump.
Yeah, the queen. Delete. The queen is also a weird move because I remember she criticized Lisa for calling herself the queen.
Yeah, exactly. But the housewives are always funny because the taglines are so sometimes so cheesy because it'll involve something that you see later in the season. So like we could say, but like, what if this also means that like Kyle Richards deals with a nemesis that's like a drag version of Kyle Richards and she keeps calling her the queen? I was trying to think of different ways this could play into the season, but I think it is what it is. And just Kyle Richards is the head of Beverly Hills right now, you know?
Yeah, or so she thinks.
Yeah. So Lisa Rinna's are this, my lips are legendary, ... and they will never gloss over the truth.
Shut up about your disgusting lips.
Well, wait, your lips aren't legendary. I mean, if they're legendary, it's because they got mangled in too many plastic surgeries. The fact that Lisa Rinna has Rinna Beauty, I was like, is this like the biggest punk brand ever? Why would anybody? Okay, I know there's so many Rinna fans out there. I get it. I get that you love a strong woman that starts trouble everywhere she goes and pimps out her daughter to older men. I get it. I get you love those things. But the gloss thing, I know one of her big plot lines this season is the launch of her Rinna makeup line. And like, how ballsy is it? Like, how, I feel like she's gaslighting us into actually thinking her lips are good. And her lips were mangled. Are you kidding me?
I know. They're just someone, and I love how people on Twitter describe them as like prolapsed, I think is the word. And it's like the perfect word to describe
prolapsed, that. Jesus God. Oh my God. So the new girl, this is Crystal Kung Minkoff.
Yes.
I believe she is Asian American. So I'm really so scared potentially for what Crystal, you know, we saw what happened with Tiffany Moon on Dallas, and I'm very scared. And hopefully, in fact, I mean, the season was already shot, so we will get the honest reactions of all of these ladies. But man, it was so hard to watch. You guys know, you guys have heard me talk about Tiffany and really all that whole thing, that shit that happened with Cameron Westcott this past week.
I don't watch Dallas because I haven't been able to watch it from the beginning anywhere, and I want to get all the context. But I was reading about all of the Dallas stuff that was happening. It's why Bravo needs to do a better job of like
wrangling
of like Cassie, supporting, you know, the cast members that are, you know, people of color, and they're just thrown into these casts with all white people. Like they need, like, you can't just throw them to the wolves like that. Like that is like, it just, from what I was reading, again, I don't watch Dallas, so there's only so much that I know about the situation, yeah, but it seems like, you know, that what's her name, Cameron Westcott, needs to be fired right now. And Bravo still hasn't fired her.
No, I mean, and her chart and court and horrible names.
No, these are her kids. Like, wait. So I was, yeah, again, chart
is her husband, like, and chart is court's brother, and it's her brother-in-law. But they were really brassy and talking about anti-racism is racism over Twitter. Yes,
in comparison to Nazi thing. Germany. And they also said that Tiffany, as a doctor, was like going to work home all the time.
The trouble of this is that the Westcott's, Charton Court's father is a donor at the hospital where she is an anesthesiologist, Dr. Tiffany Moon. So Chart said, oh, I've only met you twice. And once you were so drunk at a party we were at, you had to be carried out or something, which you can't mess around with somebody's job like that. And you're affecting donors at the hospital. It crosses over from fun, horrible housewives antics to, yo, you know, job, like actual jobs and kids need to be like, no, like
off limits.
They can't be fair game. And also the fact that, you know, unless it's something where you're harming kids, that's part of you. Like, I mean, there's obvious things where they should be able to be brought up, but this is crazy. And I really don't know what's going to happen, but Cameron should also know what she brings to the show. And she brings a ditzy blonde haired woman's take that is sometimes really hysterical in how she views and says things, but the reality of her character and situation gets so much darker now. And I think after the year we've been, you know, we've been given and been a part of, it is so hard to think of the reality of what her day-to-day life is. It's not so cute and funny. It is right. Kind of just, it becomes less funny to laugh at Cameron when, but it's another thing. I hate to draw the correlation, but it is true. There are women like Hannah and women like Cameron where they're not apologizing. They're not like saying, okay, they, because they're such strong women that I think they don't think that.
But don't, okay. But also like, I don't think that being a strong woman equates to doubling down when you've messed up. I think that those are like separate things. I think that maybe the right word is, like freaking, what's a good word for like, you're so stuck in your own ways that you would never ever want to take accountability or responsibility when you're wrong. Anyway, that's how I'm seeing it. And the fact that Hannah posted a Tiffany, I guess posted, don't let others darkness like dim your light or something. And Hannah posted the quote, like making it about her. It's like, you are the darkness.
We love to make things about ourselves. I mean, we just can't stop making
I know. About but yeah, ourselves. I feel, but like you said, that's like, that is something accusing her of showing up to work to her very serious job. It's different. You know, if someone was accusing a writer of showing up to work, I'd be like, who cares? But she's an anesthesiologist doctor. Like she like freaking, you know, people's lives are at stake.
I saw somebody comment on Twitter, which really is a cesspool. One woman said, I definitely wouldn't want her as my anesthesiologist right, after like this that, season. And I was like, what the, I definitely would want her. Like, what season did you watch that you wouldn't, cause she can cut loose with some girls that are cutting loose even 10 times harder than her.
Right. Like from everything I've heard, Tiffany is clearly the fan favorite by a long shot. So, yeah, but like those kinds of comments would affect her livelihood. So I absolutely understand like her getting lawyers involved, like, that like what they said, the Westcott's like beyond fucked up.
We'll get back to the taglines in one sec. The last thing I wanted to say though, is it also, you know, you can, I know it's like my main thing is like, oh, equal rights for everybody. And that's why I'm livid, but I'm also livid. I'm livid in a superficial way too, because I feel like when people like Tiffany or potentially people like Crystal from Beverly Hills has to sit and teach or has to let people's like real thoughts come out about their ethnicities or all of this stuff, it takes away from the fact that we are missing. Tiffany might be full blown crazy as a person, and we now have to stop to learn things when Tiffany is not being able to let her full freak flag fly. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want these ladies to be housewives. We want them to be crazy and get us angry. And we, you know, like, so it's weird when we're having to take seasons out to catch everybody up to speed. And then like, because by the way, I love Tiffany Moon, but I'm not saying that in next season or the season after, I will not hate her. I will be so angry at something she did, because I want her to have that opportunity, that all these other opportunities to other housewives where I can hate them. Like, I want to hate equally. I want Tiffany to be able to be batshit crazy and not have it anything to do with her being Asian American or a doctor, you know, like I, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, and we'll see what happens with Crystal on Beverly Hills. I'm like definitely very hopeful about, you know, that it's handled correctly and that she doesn't, you know, face the Tiffany treatment, because that's all, especially with like the social media users who are going after Tiffany, also like Asians who watch Bravo. Like that's like an account on.
Yeah. Instagram. I talked to like, Asians who watch Bravo this week.
It's just awful. People can be awful. And I feel like Crystal, from everything I have seen, will be like a fabulous addition. So I'm excited. So,
well, let's see if you like her tagline. Her tagline is, Hollywood is full of pretenders and I slay them all.
I like that. I liked it.
Well, I think her husband is a Hollywood producer, but it also could mean she's a serial killer, that she's actually killing people in Hollywood, which would be amazing if that were true. So the next one is Garcelle Bouvet. Hers is, if you want a starring role in my life, you better drop the act.
Yeah, cute. I liked it. Yeah.
I like it. I do want to point out it is very last season they had Garcelle where she kept using the I'm filming Coming to America, the sequel. I'm not going to be there. I'm very busy filming. I watched that effing movie. She's in it for 30 effing seconds, you guys. This is so crazy. Like, is she lying? Did she get cut out of everything? She's has like two lines in the movie. And I'm like, how did she keep using this as an excuse? No offense to Garcelle. Work is work. But come on.
Did you see the clip, the preview clip that's like where Rinna is like, so like the thing with like me and Garcelle and like our work, and Garcelle's like, when was the last time Rinna even spoke for 30 seconds in anything? So at least Garcelle's getting a job.
Well, I think all of these ladies in Beverly Hills especially consider this a role. Like this is on their IMDb page almost.
Well, you know? Paid, yeah.
But you remember last season when Kyle kept talking about going to film Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis? And she was like, I was so busy last. I filmed Halloween for months and I kept cracking up. They delayed the release of Halloween because of the pandemic. I think it's going to come out this October, but it was hysterical. Cause I was like, you know, and she blamed getting like the bangs,
yeah,
the bangs haircut be on that movie. And I was like, wouldn't it be funny if like you see Halloween and she's just like a background extra? Like you just see a lady with horrible bangs in the background. You're like, that's Kyle.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Cutting
room floor. What do they say?
Yeah, exactly. On the cutting room. Okay. Here's the big one. Erica Jane, the strongest substance on earth isn't diamonds. It's me.
I hate her.
That's
a strong word, but like
I think it's a bad tagline. You've got to read the room.
Yeah, read the room. But yeah, it's like even in that preview, Erica was like, people with bigger lives have bigger problems. Like the bigger the life, the bigger the problems. And it's like, a lot of people have way more problems than you could ever know about. Erica missed like Beverly Hills mansion scamming money from orphans.
We got a paparazzi photo this weekend, you guys, of Erica Jane walking out of her house and really done up for she's a presenter at the MTV Movie Awards, which is just like, it's wild that they're pushing her to do things like this. Guys, no matter if she's complicit in certain ways, and I don't feel like she refused to do Watch What Happens Live, or she's not doing it with the other ladies this week on Watch What Happens Live. All the ladies except for Erica Jane is coming on. There was a rumor put out there that she would only come on if the questions were approved. Andy says that is not true, but I do think it is interesting. She's not going to be on there, but I do have to, I think Erica is not realizing what a rocky road, and not just in terms of what she's dealing with her husband, but she's got a rocky road in terms of public perception. I think she might not be reading what's happening out there, and that this is a real thing. We don't want to see you in full glam and all that stuff. I don't think.
She's a narcissist. And it's like, I feel like so many, not to compare to like OJ Simpson, but remember when OJ Simpson was like found not guilty and he's like, well, let's find who really did this. Like they think that because they haven't been charged or proven guilty that the public just has to assume that they're innocent. It's like, that's not how this works, Erica. All signs are leading to you knowing what was happening. And also I've been rewatching Beverly Hills and just watching the amount of frivolous, like it's just in the lens of what we know now, just watching Erica's spending now is so disturbing. She bought, I think, one of the new housewives, I think Eden, one of the one season wonders, I think, when she met
Eden
her.
Sassoon?
Or maybe it was Dory. Maybe it was Dory. I don't remember. But when she met them for the first time, she brought this person a Chanel bag. That's her gift to just bring. And it's like, that is even like the richest people on earth. That is not money that you just throw a Chanel bag to give to like a random person.
I always think about any famous person when you see them buy these cars and all of this insanity. I always just want to fast forward like 50 years from now and see where life is. Cause I always wonder if they think, did I really need all of those Ferraris in the 80s? I literally have nothing right now. Like, you know, it's like, I do. There is, I think I'm excited, but I'm frugal because my parents have taught me to be frugal and that, you know, like I have a Corolla. I mean, like I don't have tons of things because I want to be able to survive, you know, like it's,
yeah,
I don't know. Like if Erica just kept asking Tom for, like, instead of jewelry, will you just give me money? Like, just give me the money that I can put away.
Oh, and her Cartier Panther ring, that's like $65,000 or something. Just everything that you watch now that Erica has spent money on, I'm like, where did that money come from?
I start to believe there's no wealth. There's no actual wealth. It's all just anybody that has money. It just eventually got by like stealing from people. It got, you know, like I sometimes wonder in terms of celebrities, especially nobody's money seems to be on the up and up. And we already saw a clip this week, you guys, a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, of Dorit in a McLaren, a new $250,000 car, which I'm sure she just rented for the day at her house. And they're putting price tags up. And I'm like, is nobody learning? If I was a housewife, I'd literally be just in just a black sweater and black jeans every scene. I don't want any, like, I would never be talking about money. I would just try to get into conflict, but never, like, I wouldn't even let him film at my house. Like, these things will all come up in court cases. I get worried for Dorit and PK on a daily basis.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's like, it's all for show though. That's like what it is. It's more important for them to keep up the illusion than for them to like make smart, logical choices.
The perception.
Yeah. It's like the perception. It's just, yeah, it's wild. And we've seen this with how many housewives that like have had financial issues that are like, you know, they come back the next season more flaunting more than ever, you know?
Yeah. Well,
it's like overcompensating.
Speaking of Dorit, Dorit's is dress like there's no tomorrow. And then tomorrow do it again.
So stupid.
I don't even, yeah. So it's like, okay, I think her plotline must be involving clothes this season. Mine was, I had written her one that I was like, don't ever try to buka this Beppo.
And that would have been way better.
Yeah. And then my favorite cast member who I have high hopes for this season, she has gotten a diamond. She is not a friend of Sutton Strack. Anyone who doubts my exquisite manners can kiss my exquisite derriere.
Love it. I love it. It's like the Southern, like, yeah.
But it is weird though. It's hard. I don't want to think about Sutton's derriere. I don't know. I feel it's like, she's like a, I don't know.
I think she's cute.
Okay. So those are the Beverly Hills taglines. Moving on. I know we only got a little bit more here. John Mulaney, you guys, John Mulaney has had a rough 2021 and his ex-wife, is probably having a tougher 2021. John Mulaney has gotten out of a 60-day rehab. He had checked himself in for substance abuse, alcohol, and cocaine, supposedly. At the City Winery, I think, I'm not sure where that is, but he did a four-night stand-up tour this past week.
Yeah.
And we've gotten reviews that said it was, you know, a really, you know, he was workshopping a lot of things, and he was talking about his rehab and his intervention where I think he said something, he's like, oh my god, I have, because it was celebrities and then his regular friends were all there, and he said something of this like, oh my god, eight of the funniest people I know in my world are in this room and nobody is being funny, you know, like and they're not being funny.
That's so interesting. That's interesting to hear the insight behind, like, you know, that actually there had to be an intervention, like that is, you know, that's,
I think
really
he was
serious.
Pretty bad off. And I remember seeing one of John Mulaney's first comedy specials where he talked about not doing drinks and drugs since he was in college or something. And, you know, and I was always really impressed by that, because I just like, wow, like to the foresight to know that you have a problem. And Philip Seymour Hoffman had a really kind of fall that led to his death that was similar of like, you know, you start with a couple drinks. You're like, okay, I'm an adult. It's been 15 years since I last had anything. I think I probably didn't have the disease like I thought I did. And then with Philip Seymour Hoffman, it led to eventual heroin use, which led to his overdose and death. And John Mulaney, I mean, you know, you just never know where these things can go. And drugs these days, I was watching that two-part opioid documentary on HBO, which is really worth everybody checking out. I think it's called The Great
Walker. Oh, the crime of the century.
The crime of the century. Really, really in so scary about the opioid crisis. But John Mulaney, so he's clean, he's sober, he's workshopping new material. And the other thing I thought was interesting said, when I'm alone with myself, I don't like to be alone with myself because I'm literally alone with the person who tried to kill me. And like, think about how dark that is, because
that's,
it's like
so dark.
Our minds and like what we allow ourselves and our vices, and we say, oh, you need that, you need this drink right now, or you need, like, it's really,
it shows that you never ever know what someone's going through, because for so long no one would have ever guessed that John Mulaney, he had like a squeaky clean image.
That was part of his image, was how squeaky clean he was. Now, we are really fighting against that image now, because it was announced last Monday that he and his wife were divorcing. She actually put out a, her statement was just, I am heartbroken that John has decided to end our marriage. So it was very, John has decided to. Mm-hmm. And obviously this was announced, I believe, last Monday, but that doesn't mean that's when it happened, you guys. Right. Obviously they had dealt with that beforehand. Right. So that wasn't the first time she was finding out or he was announcing it. It just, the public knew. The other thing that then got brought up this week was that now John Mulaney is supposedly dating Olivia Munn.
And yes. Like I said, I do not know what Olivia Munn, like, I don't know how she spends her days or what she does for a living. All I know is that she's always dating some celebrity guy. And I'm sorry if that sounds misogynistic. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be like misogynistic and be like Taylor Swift, like shame someone for who they dated or their dating history. I just genuinely don't know what Olivia Munn, I still don't know. Like, I know she acts sometimes. I know that she hosted.
She was in the newsroom, I think, because she was, and also she was.
And she was a host, like she was an on-air host for some like talk show. Like, I don't know what she does.
So the interesting part of this story also is that not only that Olivia Munn has a celebrity dating history, but that People Magazine, this is from, it says, years ago, Olivia Munn and John Mulaney were romantically linked. The actress recalled how the pair crossed paths while attending the same wedding. We were at a wedding together and I was like, oh my gosh, do you and your fiance, Anna Marie Tendler, want to go have dinner or something and go hang out? Munn 40 told HuffPost Live in 2015. At first it was cool. And then I kept going up to him at the wedding, like, so you having fun? She continued. I was just so obsessed with hanging out with him and talking with him. Munn said that she sent Mulaney, 38, an email after the wedding, but claimed that he never emailed back. The newsroom alum added, I might have got the wrong email, probably. That's what I tell myself. Quote, this is very new. They're taking it slowly, a source close to the former Saturday Night Live writer says. They met at church in Los Angeles. Now, this is doing wonders for churches, I imagine, in Los Angeles. Women are just flocking to churches. Months before the coupling was, I don't know. It doesn't say that. I want to know the church. Months before the coupling, what if it's like the like church of like Scientology or Satanism or something. Months before the coupling was reported, Munn publicly supported Mulaney as he entered rehab late last year after relapsing following a struggle with addiction. Sending so much love and support to John Mulaney, she tweeted in December. You got this, heart, fire, lightning strike.
It sounds like she's always been kind of like trying to snatch him.
Well, I mean, I don't know what it's like. And by the way, like you guys listening, take it, like, do you guys have your sights on other
guys? As a woman, I think that if I, you know, was giving an interview and being like, I was so obsessed with like, just like wanting to talk to this person. I emailed him after and he's, you know, I met his fiance and he's literally in a serious relationship, whatever that relationship is, whether it's married, engaged, dating. If a man has a serious relationship, I just can't, I can't imagine, like, you know, it sounds like she like was very into him while he was in a relationship. That's the vibe I'm getting. It's one thing to want to like be friends and like that, maybe that's, it was all innocent, but now it just seems so coincidental.
Well, there are stand-up comedy like freaks that are just like so into stand-up comedy. And maybe she was one of those people. And it's weird with like us normies, because it's not like girls can see like Rick and accounting work, like, oh my God, he's my favorite accountant ever. I got to date that guy someday.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
With John Mulaney, it's like, if you love his stand up, you think you know him, you think you already love him. And I mean, but it is dark, because that is everybody, you guys, I've told this story in the podcast, but one of the first, my long term relationship before my marriage was this girl. We moved out to LA together and she ended up with one of the creators of South Park, and it rocked my world. I mean, you talk about wanting to be an actor, trying to be funny and trying to, and then the guy from South Park, he was literally flying her to Italy and Hawaii, and I was trying to win her back.
Is she still with them?
No. And I had no money. I had nothing. And I was, I mean, this was like South Park's height of their popularity, and I was seeing billboards everywhere. I thought I was going insane. So my heart goes out to John Mulaney's ex, who I hear is a pretty cool person.
I always say that, like, it's one thing to go through a breakup, like, as a normal person, and it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. You're like,
Yes, exactly.
When you're a celebrity and all of a sudden you're seeing the person that's now replaced you, like, that has to be like just excruciatingly tough.
It really is. Just, you're constantly reminded 30 more times a day when somebody's beloved, like John Mulaney, especially, like, if they're a dick, you know, which, by the way, one of the last things I want to talk about is Courtney and Travis Barker. Shauna Mokler has gotten involved a little bit, and also their daughter, Bama, who I thought was a 33-year-old woman. It turns out she's a 15-year-old girl posing as a 33-year-old woman on her Instagram.
Yeah.
But there is some weird shit. I don't know if you have followed this at all.
I saw that she accused him of emotional abuse.
Yeah. And she also, Alabama.
Her Instagram is run by Travis. That's what she said, at least.
Well, Travis also is one of those people that they base a lot of their lives on the movie True Romance, which is fine, but that's where Alabama Bama comes from. That's why the Courtney You're So Cool tattoo got. Uh-huh. So I love the movie too. I get it. But it's weird. So in these leaked texts that Alabama released or something on her TikTok, I think, it said that Shanna said, "It is so crazy that he's with Courtney. You know, I broke up our marriage initially because he was with Kim."
I saw that. Yes.
When Kim was with Reggie Bush. Now, do you believe this?
I don't know. When I saw that, I was very surprised because it really just doesn't seem like Kim's type. And I'm not just saying that based on the fact that, you know, Kim Kardashian has, you know, dated a lot of black men. I'm not saying it for that reason. I feel like it's just like not her type, just in general. He's like a scrawny, like, like, well, with tattoos.
You're so dead on right. And the fact that even Courtney, I mean, Courtney is a little like, she considers herself a little more artistic, so I can see where, but Kim,
also you can see it, like, Scott is a skinny white guy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, kind of like,
right. With Kim though, it just really would be so, it was so out of character, you guys, that when I was fantasizing, not about them having sex, but about that relationship, I was trying to really picture it. And it led, like, this is where I'm like going back to what I said earlier about conspiracies, is sometimes things just aren't true. This would be so out of character and would almost make me think so differently about Kim. In fact, there was that rumor that Kim hooked up with Meek Mill a couple years ago and Kanye knew about it. And like, I just don't know. Even from the Kim, like, there's a lot of things to make fun of Kim about, and there's a lot of things to pick on her about, but I think we get a kind of a sense from her, from what we've seen of,
right.
Just like, also, I don't know. I guess there was a time when, I mean, this is a person that, like, you know, potentially leaked their own sex tape with Ray J. So you never know, but the Travis, I don't know. Like,
yeah. Like, why would Kim have not capitalized on that relationship at the time? Like, that's what I mean by Occam's razor. Like, me just looking at things, me like, what is most logical here? The most logical thing is that this is just isn't true. Like, it just isn't, because like, how has this never come out? Like, Kim at the time was very early on in her career where, you know, a celeb pairing like that would have been really, you know, so something up her and Kris Jenner's alley for sure.
I was thinking, wouldn't it be insane? Like, so we had, and I hate to bring Demi Lovato up, but Demi Lovato, she had that engagement.
Poot? You mean Poot?
Poot, yeah, the Froyo, you know. She was engaged to Max Eric, which was an insane relationship. And they were like, Max Eric got discovered having tweets saying that Selena Gomez was a way better singer, way hotter than, you know, and he had done this. But it was obviously he was obsessed with these pop stars. What if it comes out that Travis Barker had a Kardashian obsession and like has been trying to nail a Kardashian for years? And maybe he put that rumor out about Kim. Like, maybe he has like a vision board of Kim. And then he's like, ah, fuck it. I can't get Kim anymore. Let's go for Courtney. And now Courtney, like, in my mind, that's the conspiracy theory I want to start, that Travis Barker is insanely obsessed with the Kardashians.
I actually kind of like that theory, that he wanted to put it out in the universe that like, he's hooked up with Kim before. So yes. Like, So he can be like, oh my God, he's hooked up with Kim and Courtney. Like, what a baller.
and then he's like, hey, Chloe, you want what your sister's having? Hey,
yeah, like
restaurant's always open. Yeah.
Like, I just don't. Yeah. I mean, for all we know, it totally could be true. I'm just not seeing it.
So Shanna Mokler, you guys, got her Travis tattoo removed. But by the way, we do know that Travis got a Courtney tattoo, and Courtney actually, we have an Instagram of them, of her tattooing Travis. And it's like, but also to get a tattoo on Travis's, but I have a tattoo on Travis's body. This Sophie Ross has a tattoo. It's like when Tay Diggs follows you on Twitter. I'm more impressed with people that don't have Tay Diggs following them on Twitter.
I don't think Tay Diggs follows me.
Oh my God. He was the guy that for the first, like he followed ever. Like
you want to know who my first, he does follow 684,000 people.
Oh, he followed everybody.
Wait, the first celebrity who followed me on Twitter was Spencer Pratt. That was a huge deal for
me. That's a big, by the way, Spencer Pratt follows me on Twitter too, because of something we had done in the past. And that was a big one for me too, because I grew like part of my youth was watching that show.
I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, like Spencer Pratt follows me on Twitter.
Yeah. But wait, did you watch Hell's New Beginnings this week?
Oh my God, sorry.
Did you watch Hell's New Beginnings?
No, I didn't, because I found it so, like, so boring. The first season, I couldn't get through it.
It's glossy, but it's like, that's why it's, and also you just like, I found myself, even I was like, Brody is a really good looking dude and his hair grows out really fast. And he's got like this, I was even like going, I think Brody's like, it's just like an hour long commercial about Brody being hot and Spencer of gaining weight. Spencer's eating pot pies through the entire thing. And then at the end, there's like this really great comedic moment where Heidi's crying about potentially having another kid. And Spencer's eating a pot pie in bed and he drops a piece of pot pie. And like, he's more concerned with the pot pie dropping on his belly than his wife crying in lingerie in front of him. And it was just like a really amazing little tiny moment.
See, I feel like Spencer and Heidi have come such a long way. I'm happy for them. Like, they're still together 10 plus years later.
I mean,
Spencer is hilarious. He's just a hilarious guy.
So anyways, back to the last thing about Travis Barker. I do think I feel like their social media presence is so weird right now. And it's so in our faces. Like, I feel like we could get a reincarnation of a Meet the Barkers, which was an old MTV show about Travis
Barker. Loved that show. Loved it.
People seem to have forgotten about
it. Alabama and Tennessee, is that their names?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So they were like babies when that show was airing.
So, I'm like, are we about, because it's weird now, all of a sudden we're getting stories about Bama. We're getting stories about, like, will there be a potential Meet the Barkers again? It's not, and we don't know with the Kardashians Hulu deal. What if the Kardashians produce a Meet the Barkers show? I mean, it just seems so weird how pushed this relationship is on us, the public.
Now that you're talking about it like this, I think that the more that I think about it, the more that I'm like, is this a genuine relationship?
Well, I mean, I don't want to put a conspiracy out there, but you do got to wonder why all of a sudden we're seeing so much. It's like so in our faces.
Instagram. It's like usually Courtney, even with when she was dating Eunice, because he wasn't a celebrity. So she kind of like posted him like every so often, but not really. With Travis, it's so in your face. They're so milking this, the attention they're getting. Yeah.
Do you, by the way, what do you got? 5'10" or you got to go now? What do you got? I want to make sure you
get I have dinner at 7. I need to get ready.
Yeah.
So I probably I can do like 15 more minutes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I'm curious about that. Also Kardashian related. I wanted to get your opinion on, we still, Tristan came out and said, I'll sue you if you blah, blah, blah. And it's been quiet. So we don't know who's getting paid off or what, but I got to say, my friend pointed this out. The Kardashians recently episodes, they're talking about surrogacy, and I have a feeling, my friend says, well, third trimester Chloe, she always gets cheated on her third trimester. So my friend was saying that, like, I bet any day now it gets revealed Chloe is a new mother to a baby through surrogacy.
You think so?
I mean, it is weird. Like, and also it does, like, also then if you do the cheating kind of math too, it's like, Tristan always seems to really stray when babies are involved because he cheated on her. Like, yeah. Remember, like, he was in the delivery room and Kim and Courtney were there and they were like livid at him because the story broke the week of her due date, you know?
Right. I remember that. Yeah. But oh my God.
I bet we're about to get a Chloe baby.
That's so, I guess, like, I wonder why they wouldn't announce this earlier, I guess, that they were expecting, because I feel like, you know, that's something that they would maybe to protect the identity of the surrogate, which is, I can't remember if Kim did the same thing, but I feel like, you know, announcing that they're expecting would have been, you know, good PR for the show.
Yeah. I'm so curious. I mean, but I kind of have this weird feeling that she might be right and that we might be getting that, that announcement any day now that she is a new mother and he's a new father, which would also explain how tragic all of this is. Some round robin stuff here. I love Daily Mail. Megan Fox exclusive. Actress flashes her incredible abs in a ravishing red satin bra and blazer on romantic night out to celebrate her birthday with Machine Gun Kelly in LA. How is that an exclusive? How is this even a story? I guess other than Machine Gun Kelly has a birthday and she looks fabulous in red. That's an exclusive article in Daily Mail.
It's not a story. Daily Mail keeps so many people relevant that like would not be relevant otherwise.
Think about Ireland Baldwin. Ireland Baldwin. Why the fuck do I know? Sorry, Nana. Ireland Baldwin, Alec Baldwin's daughter with Kim Basinger. There's an Ireland Baldwin story in the Daily Mail three or four times a week.
Demi Rose too.
Oh my God, Demi. Well, like who? Well, remember what was it? What website was it? Was it Perez Hilton? He did get Tyga. No, but remember back in the day, chicken, what did they call her? Chicken cutlets. It was this girl in LA and it was always like
D-listed called someone chicken cutlets. Oh, it was someone who always wore Lucite heels. Who was the Lucite heel person?
You guys will know exactly. Cause they,
oh my God. Anyone who read D-listed in the early aughts will know what we're talking
about.
But
it was funny though, that they do have those people that they don't really do anything except be in the Daily Mail.
Except be written about.
Yeah. It's so weird. Like, I wonder how they
choose. But that is PR at work. So when I see like, you know, these kind of gratuitous articles about Megan Fox and Travis Barker and Courtney and Machine Gun Kelly and Emrata and all of these celebrities where I'm like, where's like your actual body of work? Like,
yeah, I mean, there's
all you're doing is getting photographed.
No body of work. The body is the work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I got you. That's fair. I mean, that's fair, whatever. But like, I'm still just like you are only staying relevant because of the Daily Mail.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so two last things. Olivia Rodrigo delivers debut performance of latest single and her hit single, latest single Good For You, and her first single, the driver's license one, on SNL last night. I watched it. I do have horrible news for everybody. I can prove it that Olivia Rodrigo is not 17 years old. She is a 42-year-old Russian woman.
Yes,
that is a Milli Vanilli situation happening, and we all are getting suckered. I do not believe in Olivia Rodrigo yet.
Her
I know
her voice is incredible.
Well, she does this.
I got my driver's license.
No, she's doing. She does this. She does a. I'm trying to. There's like a little affect.
We always talked about.
We always talked about. And by the way, you know, I don't know what it is, but this reminds me, and I was around for this, kids. Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette. Yes.
She ruled her debut album.
Jagged Little Pill. Oh my God! You're in the hair and the braids.
And I feel like I've seen a mix of that again, and which is I love Alanis Morissette. I love her, and I don't know. It's just so funny when you see. That's why I say pop culture is circular. Like everything happens again. Is that we're having this? But people are thinking this is like. It is cool to have breakout stars, and obviously she is insanely talented. Her voice really is for such a. I hate like such a tiny person. She seems so tiny.
I know. I
such a voice and a presence.
It's really, I think that's why it's like she has been shot to fame in a way that feels very organic. Like she is just, and I know some people say industry plant this, that. She actually has this.
You still have to have talent.
And I think that SNL kind of proved that because it's live. Like, she has nothing but a microphone and someone playing piano when she was singing that. And it's like, you are just struck by her raw talent. That's not auto-tune.
There's no Ashley Simpson auto-tune, you know?
Right. And the fact that she wrote that song and she is a little
teenager. I don't know if I believe she wrote this.
Wait, but that's why she blew up on TikTok, because she was taking her TikTok followers on the journey of her like working on this song. Okay.
This is another thing where I'm like,
skeptical.
Well, I'm skeptical because, you know, she's a part of the High School Musical cast within the second season.
True.
But, and by the way,
aesthetic too.
The guy she was talking about in that song, Joshua Bassett,
kind of came out or said,
you know, his sex, you know, that Harry Styles is hot. And
I think it sounds like he's like sexually fluid. Yeah.
Well, and that's great. But I thought that was another fascinating wrinkle. And I was hoping on SNL, she changed a couple lyrics in that song. Like, wouldn't it have been amazing? She's like, but then I found out, like, always that dude with the, you know, cause she talks about this other girl that's older in the song. I would love if she switched it up to like a Harry Styles reference or something, you know?
Well, yeah, I thought that was, I mean, like, who knows? I don't keep up with like that whole love triangle, but I know that that's a very popular like Disney Plus show that a lot of kids keep up with all of that. I don't really keep up with it. But yeah, I don't think it really like changes anything about the song, because like, she still was like, you know, in love with this guy as a teenager who, you know, she still could be in love with him, even knowing that he's sexually fluid. So like, who knows what's going on with him?
I mean, kids these days, I'm sure they're dealing with sexual fluidity all the time now.
That's the thing. It's like, she was born in 2003. So let's just, you know, take a moment. She was born in 2003. Like, she is literally a freaking child. So for me, just seeing like this like little baby perform on SNL and do such an amazing job, impressed.
Yeah.
And she looked amazing. Her hair, I was like, oh my God, what's her skincare routine? And I'm like, oh yeah, being 17.
So her album, I believe, comes out this week, you guys. I'm sure we'll be inundated with all of this summer. Comes out May 21st. It's called Sour. So we'll see. Like, if every song on that is a banger, I mean, she will be probably headlining festivals by like a year from now in some weird, because the same thing happened with Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish was just starting to do like arenas, and now all of a sudden she's headlining music festivals everywhere. So it'll be interesting to see what this summer has for her, but it seems like it's going to be an insane summer. So I wanted to bring that up. The last thing I wanted, just really quickly, I know you probably saw this, but will you, Bravo TV announce all their lineup for the next year, kind of, or all of these new shows that they're working on? Mm-hmm. And real quickly, I just wanted to read some of them to you. So they're calling the Summer House spinoff that we were calling Winter House, they're calling it Summer House Winter Charm.
Yeah, it's such a clunker.
Who is the genius that thought, like, I mean, do you get
it? Would be so simple to just call it Winter House.
We're grown up and like, we can realize that people in the Southern Charm universe is in it without saying charm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like we can handle it like without the word charm in it. Or like, I don't know. I'm a copywriter. So I come up with like full-time, I'm a copywriter. So I come up with like puns and like word plays all the time. I'm like, if they just asked me to sit down, I could have come up with something way better than that.
We also have a Candy Burris side project, Old Lady Gang project, which will follow her restaurant that with the Old Lady Gang ladies. It seems like they're really going to lean into more Vanderpump Rules style shows, because Leva's Republic restaurant from Southern Charm supposedly is in the process of getting a show too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't announce that here, but that's what I'm hearing.
I didn't know. That's exciting.
Shout out to Craig Conover.
Leva spent her whole, you know, debut season just explaining racism to people.
Craig Conover's Sewing Down South store opened this week on the same street as Leva's Republic place. So you guys can go in there and buy pillows from your king. Bravo does a Life is a Ballroom show, which is about ballroom dancing. They always have one where I'm like, do you know me at all, Bravo?
Yeah, like what? I think that's one of the niche ones. They randomly do the niche ones that are supposed to attract probably like new. Yeah, Ryan, you're complaining about about Bravo not bringing in new people.
You're right. You're 100% right, Sophie. But they're going to do another Below Deck Adventure, which is going to have more adventures in it. Kate Chastain.
I feel like I need to get into the Below Deck cinematic universe.
Oh, it's so good. It is so below. Guys,
I don't know where to start.
Well, Below Deck Sailing Yacht this season is so great. Guys, they did my dream. The guy crashed the yacht this week. And like, you know, I always, that was my dream. The guy crashed it twice in one episode. And that's like worthy of an Emmy. Like that.
Wait, I want to watch that now, but I really don't know where to start. Like, someone needs to help me. Do they get a new cast every single season?
Yeah, sometimes there's holdovers. The captain will usually be the same.
I just like start wherever?
Yeah, you'll pick it up immediately.
I'm gonna start it.
Good though. Also, these are what I want to pay attention to: Love Match Atlanta and Love Without Borders, early 2022, and it's really like they are kind of stealing the concept of 90 Day Fiance, of like love overseas and then love in Atlanta, of like I think dating in Atlanta and stuff like that. But I'm like, F it, yeah, steal from TLC all you want, you guys. Get in the game. I love it.
When was the last time they came out with like a completely new show?
You had Backyard Envy and you had Backyard Envy and that summer camp one, Camp Getaway
I didn't watch either of those.
Yeah, I didn't either. And it's just
They have to come up with like really good concepts, I feel like, to like draw the viewers in for these shows. Like Backyard, did anyone watch that?
I don't think, obviously not, but they had two seasons and I just never watched it and I feel now bad.
Is it canceled now?
I don't think it's officially canceled, but also Family Karma is coming back first week of June. But wouldn't it be cool if they Bravo did like a reject house and it was like Jax Taylor, Hannah Berner, Monique, you put them all in a house.
Okay, first of all, do not categorize Monique with Jax and Hannah. How dare you? Beast! How dare you?
Well, that is true. Actually, Monique is the one that chose not to come back on her.
And I'm still team Monique. So
listeners know I am team Monique as well. So, so I think that is something to look out for, but yeah, that is it. You guys, I'm sure we have forgotten like 30 stories, but we have gone long. She's got to meet her mom and Nana and Nana.
Wish me luck.
Tell them I said hi, please.
I'm going to tell them now about, your Ohio State connection.
Yes.
And the fact that you like have a history with acting, because my grandma, Nana JoJo, always acted in Cincinnati theater.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, your Nana will be on the podcast one day. So
I think that she would love, if she's listening right now, which I hope she is. Nana, hi. Well,
just give me a sound clip to Sophie and I'll put it right in the pod. We don't have to talk. Just give me a sound clip and I'll put it right in the podcast.
Perfect.
Have a great rest of your day and have a great rest of your week, Sophie. And you guys have a great rest of your week. Is there anything we need to support you with this? Any articles coming out?
Oh my God. This week was really, I like just did my taxes. I have, you know, the fam here. I don't know. I'll keep you guys posted. Just follow me. I can't even remember what's going on in my life. Honestly, just taxes and grandma.
Would you ever write an article from like your perspective of a person who just moved during the pandemic and dealing with your family? I mean, like, do you ever write first person stuff like that? Or is it always just articles?
Wait, like just like a personal essay about my personal
life? Personal essays that I think you speak to a lot of young women and all that stuff. Like, do you ever do that? Is that a consideration or no?
I don't want to like spill the beans. But there is, you know, my own personal writing hub that I am in the process of working on, which will have, you know, more different kind of stories that, you know, aren't just about, you know, whatever it is, like housewives.
That's good. I think you would be great at that. That's the only reason. I'm not saying you're not great. I'm just saying I think there's anyways, guys, we will keep you posted on all breaking Sophie Ross news. And we will talk to you next week, hopefully. Okay, Soph?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Betches.